Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're now in the book of Joshua, and this is chapter 3. Let's all ask the Lord to anoint chapter 3 and also all commentary in the chapter that I may be given by the Lord in Jesus' name. Father, anoint this chapter. We know that you said that the letter kills, but the Spirit brings forth life. That's why we need desperately you every hour, every minute, every second of the day, the Spirit, your Spirit, that we may have life. Your Spirit is life. And your life is in the blood of Jesus. The Spirit in the blood of Jesus. Lord, open up the spiritual ears, every spirit inside of every human being that's listening to this tape, that they may receive life from you in Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Joshua chapter 3, how the nation of Israel crossed the Jordan going into the promised land.
Okay, and then you have to learn how to get into the promised, the land of promise, which is, you have to learn how to go across Jordan as well. And the entire Bible tells us how we are going to be able to cross the River Jordan. Crossing from this side of eternity unto the other is symbolic. Crossing the Jordan is symbolic of our crossing from this world into the spiritual world, and when we become born again to the Spirit, we've crossed over into the spiritual realm, but we still have to get into the promised land. And the Bible clearly tells us that the way to get in there is to be obedient to the Lord. And to when we're obedient to the Lord, then we are resourceful for the Lord. Without being obedient, we cannot be resourceful, and unless we are resourceful for the Lord, then we're going to be broken off from His, from our unification with Him. We no longer can be united with the resourceful God if we have chosen, if our will has chosen to not be resourceful. That is, to not do His will. So we have to learn how to cross Jordan. They always say going on to the other side. That means going on to the other side of Jordan. And read the title again.
How the nation of Israel crossed the Jordan going into the promised land.
Okay, the way that how they did it is they had to be obedient first. And when they got there, they had to be obedient as well. Symbolizing that anyone that's going into the land of promise or the promised land must be obedient. And we see people that have crossed over that were not obedient, like Achan. And they had to die because of it. And there are many other instances as well. But that isn't going to happen in the kingdom of heaven. Everyone that will be there, there will be no sinner there whatsoever. Because only righteousness dwells there. But in this world, we have to learn how to cross over into cross Jordan into the promised land, or the land of promise, which is heaven. And if we mess up, there's no way we can get there. So we have to learn how to get there. If people spend years learning how to learn a craft of some kind, they go all the way through grade school, then high school, and then college or university, just to learn a trade or a craft, how much more important would you think it would be for a person to learn how to cross Jordan, how to get into the kingdom of heaven and stay there? that involves a lot of involves a person that if they wanted to get there, it would be they'd have to involve themselves with the Word of God both day and night. They'd have to concentrate on it, because that's the way the Lord tells us how we will enter the kingdom of heaven, is to read, to eat and drink the Word of God, which is Jesus, and into our spirit, and then continue on to the end. So there's a learning process, and it's impossible for us to learn it without picking up the Lord himself, the Bible, because I don't believe that's a book. I believe it's the Lord himself. He says that he is the Word of God. And study him and learn of him so that you can cross Jordan. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 1. And Joshua arose early in the morning, and they removed from Acacia and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Verse 2. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. Verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore.
Now all these things, a lot of people wouldn't remember this at all, because they just think this is trivia. But this is the way that they're told that they must cross Jordan. The ark must go first, and then they must follow the ark. And then there's a plan of how each person shall cross Jordan, and it's very important if you expect to go over there and be alive. All these people saw all their ancestors die because of not paying attention, not caring what the word of the Lord was, and they were not able to enter into the promised land. They were not able to cross Jordan. And so they were all ears when they were being told these things. And it's just amazing how many people today don't pay any attention. I'm so happy to be back here in Los Angeles, where I got saved in Hollywood. I'm right in Hollywood now. And I've never felt the Spirit of the Lord more in my life than I have here in Hollywood, California. I've been living down in the, what they call the Bible Belt for a lot of years now. And I've never felt the Spirit of the Lord down there, and I've never seen much devotion from the people down there that I experienced out here. Out here in the Los Angeles Basin, I remember getting up early in the morning and going up when it's and it would be a very clear day, just as it is today outside. You could actually see the hills, and with the smog out here, that's rare that you can even see the hills. And I'd get up on the hill and the Lord, and looking down at Hollywood, and the Lord would talk to me and tell me things, and it was the most beautiful time in my life to just be so close to the Lord. And I love to be close to the Lord every day of my life, and you can as well if you love the Lord as much as I do. You can know him if you really want to know him. And he'd like to know you too, so get right with the Lord. Get close to him, because it's the most wonderful feeling in the world, and I'm experiencing the remembrance of that as I'm here in Hollywood, where I first was enlightened. Beverly Hills, Hollywood area. it doesn't look like I see the sinfulness here and everything, but I feel the Spirit of the Lord again very, very strong here. All right, let's go.
Verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Verse 6.
Well, the Lord's going to do wonders among us tomorrow. Oh, sanctify yourself. Set yourself aside. Cleanse yourself. Get into prayer. That's something good is going to happen. Something miraculous is going to happen. Then what?
Verse 6. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people.
Then
verse 7, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee.
Right, a lot of people don't realize, you see somebody praying for somebody and them getting healed, the Lord is with that person. It doesn't make any difference. That's the only sign that you can tell that there's miracles. Because these signs will follow those who believe. They shall lay hands on people, and they shall recover from sickness, disease, and infirmities. They shall raise the dead, preaching the gospel to people. And their getting saved means that you're raising them, because everyone is dead in their sins and trespasses. And when you witness and testify to them, and you preach to them or teach them, and they see the light and they come to life, you've raised the dead. Amen?
Amen.
And I've also prayed to the Lord for a man who was crushed under a trailer in Saugus to be raised from the dead. He was stone dead, and he rose from the dead. He was on our property. And I didn't want anyone to say, because they were really giving us a hard time in the news media at that time, I thought, oh my God, he got crushed on our property. He's got killed here. Lord, raise him from the dead so the media won't run us over the coals saying that we're working people to death or something. He was working underneath the trailer voluntarily, even though it wouldn't be wrong to tell somebody to work under the trailer, but I didn't even know that he was, and I was so glad that the Lord raised him from the dead. And when he got up, he says, what are you people staring at? Everyone said, you were dead. He said, get out of here. And the man left. Well, this is the thanks you get from some people. After even you raise them from the dead. A lot of people, when you raise them from the dead, will betray you. But the Lord tells us these things, that these things would happen in the last days. And so they're so totally unthankful, so totally corrupt, that... And I thank God that he tells us these things in the Word. He tells us them because he said he doesn't want us to fall away from the truth. We can expect traitors, people that betray us. All right, then go ahead.
Verse 8, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan.
Important to stand still right in the river. Then go ahead.
Verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Verse 10. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites.
Oh, and this is really something that the Lord spoke to him and told him that he's going to open up the Jordan River so that they can walk through on dry ground just as they did in the Red Sea. All right, let's do some translation here.
Verse 1 through 10, how the nation of Israel crossed the Jordan going into the Promised Land. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. Verse 2. 3 days later, the Israelite leaders went through the camp. Verse 3. Giving these instructions to the people. Quote, when you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, follow them. Verse 4, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Unquote. Verse 5.
Why? Because if you do, you're going to be dead. All right? Disobedience. You want to be dead? You may not fall dead immediately, physically, but you'll be dead spiritually for disobeying the Lord. And that's the worst thing that you could have happen to you, is that you're dead spiritually, because when you die, you're not going to heaven. You're going to be in hell in the lake of fire. So it's, he said, just because I'm alive, you know, God, nothing can happen to me, but you're spiritually dead. And if you're spiritually dead, you're lost. Okay, then what?
Then Joshua told the people, quote, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you, unquote. Verse 6, in the morning Joshua said to the priests, quote, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river, unquote. And so they started out. Verse 7, the Lord told Joshua, quote, today I will begin to make you great in the eyes of all the Israelites. Now they will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Verse 8, give these instructions to the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Quote, when you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop, unquote. Verse 9, so Joshua told the Israelites, quote, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Verse 10, today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites.
All right, you can tell people, you know, here's what the Lord told me, and they just, in these days, in this day and age, and they no more listen to you. It's just like they're listening to Bozo on television or something. And it really is the Lord that is saying things to me and telling me different things. And it's amazing how spiritually dead people are, how spiritually ignorant and stupid they are to the Lord. They don't read the Bible. Their only concern is of what they can get each day. And that's a very sad thing, because it's sad to look at a world full of people that you know are not going to be in heaven, that they're going to be in hell and in the lake of fire. And, you know, you've got all these other false religions that are telling them, don't believe that. And here I am hearing from the Lord himself, and they don't believe it. And the signs and wonders that the Lord said would follow people that believe what he's saying are following me also. There's a sign to everyone that the Lord God is with me, and that he is definitely speaking to me and telling, giving me instructions of what to do and where to go in this world. The Lord told me to come to Los Angeles, and I'm so glad that I obeyed him and came here, because I'm being revived just from seeing the old places that Hollywood Boulevard, Coinga Boulevard, Wilcox, where the Lord showed Sue and I that we were to be married. And against every principle that most people believe, we did what the Lord said. Both of us were married at the time, but we were married to unsaved people. And the Lord told us to marry each other. And so the general populace of Christians and of the world would say, oh, no, you can't do that. You have to. We knew a man named Abe Schneider, who's dead now, that ran a Hebrew Christian work on Fairfax, right in the Jewish neighborhood. And he said, no, I can't be of the Lord, and so on. And we saw visions, the Spirit of the Lord, signs and wonders and everything that went with it. And everyone that we had won to the Lord got the same vision that same night, in different one way or another. And after we got saved, the Lord used us to begin the entire Jesus movement that swept all over the world, the earth, and yet you've got people that will say, no, you have to go back to your first unsaved mate. First of all, both my mate and Susie's mate was committing adultery. That right there, the Bible tells you that you're able to leave them and remarry again, but only in the Lord. And both of us were in the Lord. And so, people say, oh, you were committing adultery. No, it's just that you people in the world don't know how to, you just don't know how to rightly divide the word because you've never studied it, and you've never had supernatural experiences, signs, wonders, dreams and visions from the Lord in strong direction as we've had down through the years. You just don't have it. And, you know, I can't blame you for that, but I have had it. And I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep me until that day. He's able to keep me, and I'm not ashamed to do what the Lord tells me to do. I'm not at all concerned about public opinion. If the Lord tells me to do it, I do it because that settles it. It's in my mind, my heart, my spirit, my soul. And that's the kind of people that the Lord's looking for, is people that will do what he says, no matter what the consequences will be. Okay, and then, okay, let's go some more. Mm-hmm. You've got people today that just say so many foolish things. It's like all your major preachers say that the two witnesses are going to be Enoch and Elijah. But the Lord stated in the Bible, I can't understand how they can be so stupid. The Lord says that Elijah's already been here, that Elijah was John the Baptist. And if they just read their Bible, they'd know. They just don't believe the Word of God. Elijah's already been here. That's why I say that Enoch and his wife are the two witnesses. They travel together, they are together, they're always together. And so don't be saying anymore, you people that are not aware fully of the Word of God, don't be saying that it's going to be Elijah to be one of the two witnesses, because Elijah has been here. He's John the Baptist. I know because Jesus said so in his word. It's right there for you to see. So stop saying that, because you make me know that you're not a strong Christian, that you're not a person, and you make me know that if you know the Word of God, that you believe that your word is more powerful than the Word himself, Jesus. And that makes you a liar, and the truth is not in you. Now stop saying that. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Verse 12. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man.
That's important now. Just listen to this. Out of every tribe take a man. Then what?
Verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Verse 14. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. Verse 15. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is, beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho.
So the Lord did the same thing here as he did in the Red Sea. The only thing is the Red Sea, it was a heap on each side, and the path was straight away. Over here, he just stopped one side and heaped up the water on that side. Then what?
Verse 17, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant...
Now, you'd think that people that would see that would know that Joshua was of the Lord, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Well, why then do you think people think that people are not of the Lord when they see you lay hands on people and they recover? God does not answer sinners or magnify sinners. This is the purpose of this is to magnify the leader, the true leader of the Lord in the world today, to magnify them and to show them that to show the people that this man is of the Lord. You see so many miracles where the government had taken approximately $100 million worth of property away from my church, and now we're back on our feet again. That's very hard for people to recover like that, especially when I'm not out there making money anymore. But we've got better property now than we ever had before, and the better facilities than we've ever had before, and the Lord just keeps honoring our stand. He doesn't like people when they get beat down that you just stay down. If you have the Lord, you're going to recover and rise back up again. It is written in the Bible that they cannot stop the work of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now, they killed Jesus. They murdered him. But he rose from the dead. Amen?
Yeah.
And this caused everybody to even believe in Jesus all the more. His disciples fell away for a while when he was dead for 3 days and three nights, and they were afraid. They were behind locked doors. And then when he came in through the locked door, right through the walls, they began believing in him as they never had before. Then they'd seen him many other times in the period of the 40 days that he stayed around during those 40 days, and then they saw him ascend up into the kingdom of heaven. They knew that was the Lord, and his last instructions were to win souls. Go everywhere in the world, preaching the gospel, and to everyone that believes, they're going to be saved. And to everyone that doubts, they're going to be damned. Those were his last instructions. And when you win the souls, I want you to feed my sheep, Jesus said. Be concerned about them, not to be so busy that you're going to be working on motors or that you're going to be stuffing tracks or something. That's important too. But the most important thing is to make sure that the people that are saved, that the new ones are fed, and that you feed yourself so that you have something to feed the young babes in the Lord. All right, then what else?
And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Translation, verse 11 through 17. Think of it, exclamation mark. The Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River! Exclamation mark. Verse 12. Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Verse 13.
Now it's true that there are some very thin parts of the River Jordan. I mean, I actually jumped across the River Jordan one time because some places it's like a stream. But the place where they were crossing was very wide and deep. And the Lord opened it up there. So, because somebody will say, well, yeah, the stream, the Jordan is a little stream over by one of the towns nearby, Capernaum. The Lord said it was a Chorazin. This stream is very small there, the river that goes into, that forms the Jordan River. But it didn't say the stream, it says the actual river, and at that time of the year it was swollen. Because I've heard people say that, and I was there, and I know that is true that it's thin in one part, but not not where they crossed. Also, the Jordan River, where you get baptized, that's very wide and it's very deep. And that's where they say Jesus was baptized. And there's a big baptistry there where there's a rock formation that leads right down into the water. And a lot of evangelists bring their flocks or part of their flocks there, their busloads of people. And there are bathhouses there where you get, and they give you these robes and clothing to be baptized in. The women on one side, the men on the other, and then they come out, and their pastors will call them into the water, and they get baptized in the River Jordan. And a lot of people want to be baptized in the River Jordan. They want to go through that symbolic ritual, and yet they never walk in the Spirit. And so being baptized in the River Jordan is something that you can tell your grandchildren or your friends and family back home. But it doesn't do you a bit of good unless you're walking in the Spirit. And so the part of Jordan, if you study the Bible and see where they cross Jordan, you'll know that that is very wide and deep there, and that it's not over by Chorazin, but it's over where they cross, where the Bible says it was, and it's quite a ways from there. All right, then what?
Verse 13. The priests will be carrying the ark of the Lord of all the earth. When their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off upstream, and the river will pile up there in one heap, unquote. Verse 14. When the people set out to cross the Jordan, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Verse 15.
Even if you were in a place where you could pretty much broad jump the Jordan, it didn't say they had their feet in the water and the water dried up. So it would be a miracle to me if I stood in that stream that I jumped over and it started heaping up on the side and then it became dry. That would be just as miraculous to me as it would if it was a large body of water, like where they crossed. Wouldn't that be miraculous to stand in a little stream so narrow that you could just jump over it? If you're standing in it and all of a sudden it starts heaping up and dries up, yeah, that's a miracle. Amen?
Amen.
So what difference does it make how wide it was and how deep it is? These people cross at the wide part and the deep part, and I cross over at the other. But if I would have stood in the thin part of the Jordan up there, or a stream that ran into the Jordan, I would have thought it was a great and mighty miracle if I stood in there and all of a sudden it starts heaping up and it got dry and I could just not have to jump it. I could just walk across on dry ground. Amen?
Amen.
That's a miracle, no matter which way you look at it. All right? Okay, then what?
Verse 15. Now it was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks.
Now, that wasn't happening when I was there. Okay, then what else?
But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, verse 16, the water began piling up at a town upstream called Adam, which is near Zarethan.
Now, that's a miracle. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea, until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the city of Jericho.
Yeah, the Jordan River feeds the Dead Sea, or the Salt Sea. Now, you try to cross that by jumping over it. You can't. That's a big sea. I've been over there, too. It's just below Jericho. It's way down to the bottom. It's like a sloping hill that goes all the way down to the bottom. And then here's the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea. And that's waves and everything in there. That comes from the Jordan River. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 17. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by them. They waited there until everyone had crossed the Jordan on dry ground.
Praise the Lord. Well, that was the 17 verses of chapter 3, and now we've got some commentary of Joshua. Praise the Lord.
3, verse 3. The ark was made of acacia wood, overlaid with gold, and contained manna, Aaron's rod, and the Ten Commandments. It represented the presence of God and was Israel's most sacred possession. 3 verse 4. Until now they were led by a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night. Now the ark would show them the way. The space of about 2,000 cubits, around 1,000 yards, was to impress on the people the sacredness of the ark.
Yeah, when they went into the promised land, for 40 years they saw manna on the ground. The minute they crossed into the promised land, no more manna. That was the end of that. No more manna. And what did they say there was no more of? You just read it?
The cloud by the day and the pillar by fire.
They didn't, yeah, because it was leading them to the promised land when they got there. That was the end of that, too. Amen?
Amen.
That was it. That is miraculous in itself. Amen?
Amen.
No more bread on the ground. Not necessary, because they had fruit trees, some vegetables, all kinds of things, cattle, grazing land, everything. It was flowing with all abundance of everything. Trees, nut trees, fruit trees, vegetables, produce of every kind. They didn't grow it, they didn't plant it, but it was there, and it was theirs. Okay, but go ahead.
3 verse 5, quote, sanctify yourselves, unquote. The people were asked to divorce themselves from anything that was unclean and to devote themselves wholly to the Lord. 3 verse 7.
Now, that is exactly how we're to cross into the promised land, is to divorce ourselves from everything in the world that is unclean to the Lord. To stay away, love not the world, because everything that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen?
Amen.
Don't pay any attention to anything in the world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he tells us exactly what to do. And concentrate on the Lord, because he's the only one that's going to get us into the promised land. He's the only way into the promised land. He's the only truth of how to get into the promised land. And he's the only eternal life. So there's no point in paying attention to anything or anybody else. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. No false religions. All right, then what?
3 verse 7 through 13. These verses represent a parenthetical break in the central narrative and give an insight into the significance of the miracle that was about to occur. 3 verse 7. Exalt. Through the ensuing miracle, the people came to trust that God's hand was upon their new leader, Joshua.
Right. That's why I don't understand people that would argue with people that they can see signs and wonders coming from, and they can see God blessing them. I just don't understand people being that stupid and that as unconcerned as they are about their own soul and the souls of others. I just don't understand. It's just they're self-willed, and they believe themselves to be somebody that they're not. They're just not of the Lord, and I don't suppose they ever will be. They don't have the fear of the Lord. Then what?
3 verse 14 through 17. The main thrust of the action is resumed with the certainty of the ark again stressed. The detail concerning the Jordan overflowing all of its banks enhances the miracle by focusing on the seemingly impossible situation. 3 verse 16. Adam was about 19 miles upstream.
The reason I say seemingly impossible, because it doesn't seem possible to go through the Red Sea on dry ground or the Jordan at that place where it was. And what else?
The Sea of the Arabah, which is the Salt Sea, or some people call it the Dead Sea, was the continuation of the Jordan. 3 verse 4.
Right. So tread across Jordan there, if that's the Jordan River. Amen?
Amen.
And try to cross it where they cross it without the Lord opening it up. know, way up high on the hill where there's a little stream, all the streams go into the sea. Amen?
Amen.
So I wouldn't call that the Jordan River that I jumped over. It was the Jordan stream. Amen?
Amen.
This is the Jordan River they're talking about, and the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea. That's one of the most bleakest places on earth that I ever saw, at that Dead Sea. It's just like so forlorn looking. It's unbelievable. Okay, then what? I don't think there's any fish in there at all. None whatsoever. It's too salty. You can just jump in there and float. It's something, huh? Okay, then what else?
3 verse 4. Past, quote, Avar, unquote. Strong's Concordance number 5674. To cross over, go beyond, get over, go through, pass along, come over, pass beyond, transgress. Avar is translated in the King James Version by more than 60 English words and phrases, occurs more than 500 times. One of its meanings is to pass from one side to the other side. Pictured most easily by the crossing of a river, as in the present text. An important derivative is Ibri, that's Hebrew, the ethnic description of Abraham, and by extension of his descendants. See Genesis 14:13, Exodus 7:16, 1 Samuel 29:3. Ibri has been regarded as a name for Eber's descendants. Eber was the great-grandson of Noah's son Shem, who was the father of all the Semitic people, and a direct ancestor of Abraham. See Genesis 11:10-26. Thus, Eber's would simply be one band or tribe of Semites. Ibri may also refer to one who had, quote, crossed over, unquote, the Euphrates River from the eastern lands as Abraham did. 3 verse 1 through 6. These were anxious times for Joshua and the Israelites. They set out to the promised land, but they had to delay their entrance for 3 full days while their leaders gave them instructions. Those instructions, moreover, dealt with the physical and the spiritual realms. The people were commanded, 1, to remain approximately a half mile behind the Ark of the Covenant. When the priests carried it, i.e., they were not to run ahead of God, but were to receive their direction from God. And 2, to purify themselves, i.e., they were to dedicate themselves to God, remaining close to Him to see what great things He would do. No doubt it was as difficult then as it seems to be now to follow God's plan rather than to rebel and go our own way. 3 verse 7 through 14. God would drive out the enemies of Israel if the Israelites were obedient to Him. Furthermore, so the people could see the power of God at work, because God shows His power to others in us when we keep all of His commandments, and only then. The priests, acting by faith, had to carry the Ark of the Covenant and stand with their feet in the Jordan River. Would God leave Joshua looking foolish or stupid, or would God act in the way He had promised? Joshua did not doubt God, but had the priests stand in the river.
Yeah, I've told people in the church it'd be pouring down rain, and I've done this on many different occasions. And the Bible tells us that the two witnesses would be able to shut the heavens up or to open the heavens and make it rain. And I just say, Lord, that I'm a man of the Lord. I'm going to tell will you, if I call upon you to shut the heavens up and make it the sunshine, will you do that? And he said, yes. And so I told a whole rooms full of people, I'm going to pray right now, and the Lord is going to stop the rain. And it's going to make the sun shine right now. And then I call, Father God, in the name of Jesus, close up the heavens and make it to where it's not raining outside now, and let the sun shine through. And within 1 minute, stopped and we could hear the birds chirping outside. We'd go outside and look around the area. It's just beautiful sunshine there, and everywhere else you could see the dark clouds, maybe a half a mile to a mile away, and it would be just pouring down rain there still. And it wouldn't be raining the rest of the day. And as I said, the birds would even be chirping, and they knew that it wasn't going to be raining. And the birds know. Amen? And I, you know, during tornadoes out in Arkansas, it was pouring down rain. We were headed downtown, Texarkana, and I was just saying, Lord, I want the rain, but I don't want it to rain on me while I'm shopping and I'm going through. I had to take some people to eye doctors and whatever, and many other things downtown. And so I said, let it rain, but don't let it rain on me. And every time I'd stop to get out of the car, there's no rain. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then I'd get back in the car and it'd be pouring down rain where we were going someplace else. And I'd say, Lord, you said, and then I'd get out of the car and it was not raining where I'd get out. Now that's signs and wonders, and this has happened repeatedly. I mean, I've never asked the Lord to stop the rain once where he didn't. And it would be pouring down like buckets full of rain. It just seemed like people were bathing the car in rain, in water. Okay, let's go. Continue on.
The Jordan River was at flood stage and extremely dangerous, if not impossible, to cross. It was impossible to cross without help from the Lord.
And this stopping the rains, the heavens, and letting it rain is just as big of a miracle to me as this. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So don't argue with me. All right? I mean, really. Okay, what else?
It was impossible to cross without help from the Lord, without him opening the river and drawing it out. Many times God places us where we must either stand for him or show that we don't really trust him. If we trust in God, we can be sure that he will never disappoint us.
Okay, but a lot of people just say, well, you know, that was for people back then. No, this event happened just 2 weeks ago, I think it was something like that.
Yes.
Or less, 2 weeks or less. And what is today's date?
October 28th.
October 28th, and what year?
2004.
So this is up to the date miracles from the Lord, and all kinds of doors, all kinds of speaking from the Lord come to me on a daily basis. This is we just finished chapter 3 of Joshua. That was 17 verses with commentary. The Lord says to keep your mind on the Lord both day and night, and do everything that he tells you to do, and he'll honor you, and you'll be a productive soul winner. And that's what the Lord loves. The purpose that he has us here on the face of this earth is to appropriate a bride for him, in other words, to win souls, because all of us corporately become the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem, the body of Christ, the church. So, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. If these things are not happening to you, if these signs and wonders do not follow you, get right with the Lord. Just trust him with all your heart. And lean unto him. Lean not unto your own understanding. Not at all. Because we are just carnal. Our bodies are made out of the dirt of the ground, and we're not to allow our bodies to do the dictating to us or preach to us. Even though our bodies may be ill, we're not to to believe that, because the Lord said by his stripes we were healed. Amen? So you could have all kinds of things wrong with you, and maybe the Lord's not healing you right away, but and maybe you're being tested right down to death's door. But remember, by the Lord's stripes, you were healed. And you may have pain in your body, sickness, disease, infirmities. Your eyes see it, your nose smells it, you hear people telling you about it. you say you have this and that, all these different diseases. You touch it, you feel it, you see it, you hear it. But the Lord wants you to hear His words. By my stripes you were healed. Now receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Do not let your five senses minister to you. Shut them off and let the Spirit, the Word of the Lord, minister to you in Jesus' name. Till chapter 4, God bless you and praise the Lord.